Blog Talk Radio.
This period of darkness . If you look at the earth in winter, the earth is frozen. And this is the way humanity is. You're frozen in your state of development. You are not what you could be, not what you should be, and not what in your dreams you know you can be. And that's what Satan's world is all about. It's about freezing human potential, where a few of us get through and express our potential, and the others are frozen. All they can do is look at others, get some measure of greatness, and envy and hate them for their greatness. But the greatness that you see in anybody is sitting right up inside you. But Satan's world got your greatness frozen. And this is why Jesus is so important. The real knowledge of Jesus. Because when you know Jesus, he's the key to open and free the human potential. And once the human potential is free, Satan can't rule no more. So Satan has to cover Jesus up, lie about Jesus, deceive you about Jesus, so you will have his name, but you will never have the power that goes along with that name. And I'm saying this to my Christian family. You have the name, beloved, but you don't have the power that goes with that name. If you had the power that goes with the name Jesus, you would be free. You wouldn't talk about oppression. You wouldn't be talking about racial profile. You wouldn't be talking about the things that we naturally talk about, because we don't really have the power to stop it. But if you knew Jesus, I mean really knew him, what is wrapped up in that name, if you understood it, would give each believer the power to overturn the world of Satan, starting with ourselves, in our homes, in our communities, in government. We'd have Satan on the run if you really understood. So now, we have to see what it is that we don't understand. Now, this Jesus, he is the resurrector of the human family from spiritual death. This is an important man. All of us are under the death of Satan, the curse of the fall of Adam. This man, Jesus, he resurrects human beings from a state of spiritual death. That's a great function. He breaks down the wall that has separated man from God. And he reconciles man to God. So he's a redeemer. He's a reconciler. He's a savior. A redeemer in that he pays a price to free the people from the grip of Satan. Now, anything that you want in this life, there's a price for it. The greater the thing that you want, the bigger the price. You want a toy, there's a price for a toy. Thank you. You want a car, that's bigger. The price is bigger. You want a house, that's bigger. Price bigger. You want to be a servant in government? Price bigger. You want to be free? The price. If you're not willing to pay the price and continue as you are, but there's a price that we have to pay. So this man, Jesus, he comes to free humanity, but he also comes to pay a price. But it don't mean you don't have a price to pay. See, Christians, don't think that Jesus pays the price for our redemption and we don't have anything to do now but just ride on his coattail. No. No, that's not the way it goes. He pays the price, and if you choose to follow him, you've got to pay a price. There is nobody who follows Jesus, really follows Jesus, who doesn't have a price to pay. You're going to be evil spoken of. You're going to be lied on. You may be brought into court falsely. You may be sent to prison falsely. You may even be put to death just to follow Jesus, because Satan don't want Jesus to have no real followers. So you that are in the church, that don't mean you're a follower. That means you're a believer. Those of you that are in the mosque, that don't mean you're a follower. No, you're no follower. You can just say, I believe in what the man is saying is right. But if you're going to follow him, then there, you got to pay a price. The sun. Should we be afraid of it? Why? It was created to serve you. Moon, stars, everything that you see was created to serve man. If you're afraid of it, you can't master it. You don't even approach it with the thought of mastering the sun. Let's not even talk about mastering ants or bees or birds. But you were created to master everything in creation, because everything in creation was created to be the servant of man. Well, if you become afraid, fear restricts you from the study necessary to become a master. Well, there are things in life. I mean, if you were out in the field and a bear jumped up, I mean, a bear will make you afraid, brother. You know? And there are other creatures that will make you afraid too. But you know what? The creatures have a natural fear of you, because they know something about you that you don't know about yourself. The creatures know that you have been given power over them. They're frightened of the human. But the human has no right to be frightened of the creature. I once was listening to a tape by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I was out in Arizona taking a month to fast and pray and discipline myself for a fight against cancer. And while I was out there, I was listening to a tape of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and he was saying that God did not make the original man, black man, to be afraid of anything in his creation. He only made you and me to fear him. And it is the fear of God and God alone that gives you mastery over the creation. But if you don't know God and won't trust God and have faith in God, then things that make you afraid will become your master. So after I heard that on the tape, it just so happened the next morning, every morning, I went for a morning walk. And I would walk from 4 miles every day to 11 and 12 miles sometime on the weekends. So this morning, I was out walking. I always had the brothers to walk a few paces behind me because that was my time of communicating with God, and I felt I wanted to just be to myself. This morning, I'm walking, and a big bull is in the path. I ain't talking about a cow now. And there is a difference. And the bull is about where the exit sign is back there. And I'm walking. The bull see me, I see the bull. The bull stop, and I stop too. And the bull put his head down and start moving his feet, you know. And I know what that means. And you know what that means. And a little fear, you know, jumped up in me. Oh. And I just remembered the words of Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I said, well, wait a minute. I ain't supposed to be afraid of this. I started walking. Now, wait a minute. I'm challenging my fear. I'm not saying you won't be made afraid, but you must not let things punk you. That's what I'm talking about. I couldn't turn around. I couldn't run backwards. I couldn't walk back because I had something in my head that my teacher had told me. So I talked to myself. You heard what he said. And brother, sometimes you got to talk to yourself now. Sometimes you don't have time to talk to yourself. But I had at least 50 or 60 paces to think this thing out. And I started walking toward the bull, and the bull never moved. He put his head down again, and he started doing this, you know. And I kept right on walking. And when I got about 20 paces from the bull, fear jumped in him. And the bull ran off in the bush. I said, Allahu Akbar. And what I'm suggesting to you is that the thing that has made you afraid, if you challenge your fear of that thing, you might find fear jumping into that thing because you were not created by God to be afraid of anything in creation but He Himself. And He's not creation, He's Creator. All right, let's start now. Now, you know, God, we're still on fear. God is worthy to be afraid of, seemed like to me. But you got to believe and know that a God exists. And there's too much majesty here for me to think that this magnificent creation doesn't have some not only architect and plan and order, but there had to be a planner and some power to give it order and to regulate the affair of the earth and all its creatures and the heavens above. So whoever that being is, I never met him, but I believe he exists. And since I believe he exists, I have a duty to him. Now the Bible says the beginning of wisdom. Now let's think about this now. You haven't even begun to be wise. It said the beginning of wisdom. You're a beginner. If you understand that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And I'm going to stop right there just for a minute because we can't spend a lot of time on these things, but I want you to study on it maybe after the lecture, and you will study on these things because you might be confronted with it before you leave or after you leave. At some point, you're going to be confronted with something, and you have to become master. And all I'm trying to get you to do is not to say you ain't afraid, but to challenge fear with faith that you can overcome your fear. Because the moment we overcome that which we are afraid of, we can become its master. Now, everything, of course, except God. Now, if the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, then what would you call wisdom? If the fear of God makes you a beginner, then what is wisdom? See, wisdom is that which allows you mastery. And you cannot begin to become wise in life if you don't learn the fear of God. And once you learn the fear of God, then nothing in creation becomes able to terrify you. Then you are in the beginner's class of mastery. You know what's wrong with us as black people? We're afraid. And the fear that we have, I mean, we all go to church, and I guess many of us do, but we don't learn enough about God to fear him above white people. Now, we're going to let's be honest now. I mean, we can shout all over the church. And then you go to work tomorrow, and the boss threatens you. And you feel that the loss of this job is the loss of security, so you start bowing to something that ain't right. You refuse to challenge because you don't want to lose your job. I can understand that. But if you allow a job to punk you, excuse my expression, it's really slang, I shouldn't use it, but I just want to be so clear. I don't want anybody to misunderstand. I'm not telling you to be a fool and lose your job. But I am telling you that you can challenge anybody with respect, and they will learn to respect you and become afraid, not of your muscle, but of truth that's in your mouth that you are not afraid to speak when the situation calls for it. And you know what? Practically every day in our lives, we are confronted with something that we walk away from. We don't want to tell the truth. Whatever reason you give yourself, well, I ain't going to say nothing because they ain't going to understand, or I ain't going to say nothing because you know how hot-headed the boss is. But there's a way to do everything. But if you let people continue to make you afraid, then you'll never be the man that God intended you to be. And you must not oppose God's will for you. God wants you to be a man. God knows that you can never take charge of your post as a man and fulfill the responsibility that God lays on us as men if we are afraid. Your duty is support, provision, protection for your female. How are you going to protect her afraid? How can you provide for her and you're afraid that because of a job you're not going to eat? Birds eat. Bees eat. Worms eat. Are you better than a bird, a bee, and a worm that you should put your life in the hands of a Caucasian master and you say that God is not able to feed you? No, no, no. You will survive. Even if the odds are against you, you will survive. You don't have to lie, cheat, or steal to survive. If you go according to the way God directs you, you will win. But if you become afraid, the fear restricts you. And you know, all of us, men and women, need psychological help. I was an athlete, and when I was a young track, I don't want to say track star, but I was an athlete. And the first meet of the year, I would either equal the record or break it. Because in that meet, there was no pressure. But when it came time for the championships, I let fear and nervousness restrict me, and I lost to those who were inferior in terms of time. And here's the finals that is the championship, and I lose in a time that I had beaten in the first meet of the year. So I didn't need more running. I needed somebody to help me with my mind. And that's what you need. We need. You need somebody to help you with the way you think. And that's what makes the Honorable Elijah Muhammad so valuable to black people. The Bible calls him a wonderful counselor. And you know, when you get in trouble, they say, well, go see the counselor. But that's what Elijah Muhammad is known for, the wisdom of his counsel. Now, look, I'm not Superman. I'm far from that. But I appear to be that to many because I won't let the power of this world punk me. Now you know white folk have power. You know the government has power, don't you? Awesome power. And you know that those Jewish people that don't like Farrakhan, they are organized, they are disciplined, they have money, they have power. But I cannot let them make me afraid. I was teaching one time in New York at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I had made a speech that was very innocuous, you know, harmless. I didn't, you know, hit them too hard. I c-
kind of crafted the speech real nice. I got through the speech fine. The first question, this detective got up, kind of big, imposing fella, and he opened his coat and he threw it back. And there was this big gun on his hip, and he wanted to make sure that I saw the weapon. Now he's trying to do what? Exactly, trying to make me afraid. And then he said, Minister Farrakhan, I understand that your teacher, Elijah Muhammad, teaches that all us white people are devils. I want you to see what America is spending for military and what she's spending for education. $650 billion spent on more weapons. And even though President Obama has said no to nuclear weapons and wants to bring the stockpile of nuclear weapons in the world down, yet he asked for $5 billion for more nuclear armament. Do you think they're preparing for peace? Put up on this board the American installations around Russia, around China, and in the Middle East, in Iraq, where oil reserves equal $30 trillion. America is not there because Saddam Hussein was a dictator. America has supported dictators in Central America, South America, Africa, and all other parts of the world. America doesn't give a damn about who is a dictator as long as they bow down to the will of the foreign policy objectives of the United States of America. Look at this map. Do you have my little laser pointer? You forgot it. I don't need the mic. I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Yes,
America has over 730 military installations and bases in over 50 countries. It also has military personnel on active duty in dozens of other countries. What does America need to have bases all over the world if America is a peacemaker? Talk to me. See, you ain't got a preacher. Cowardly people who claim to know God but punk out when it comes to freeing the people by telling the naked truth. All these places marked in red is where she has bases. Canada, Greenland. See here, this is Colombia, Quito, in the capital of Peru. All of these countries, he has bases. We just put a base in Colombia because it's right next door to Venezuela, and they want to be able to attack Venezuela. But look here. You missed it because this is an old map. But right here, Haiti, there's a base now in Haiti. They have discovered oil in Haiti that's more than the oil in Venezuela. So 20,000 U.S. troops are now in Haiti, and they're not there to rebuild Haiti. Open your eyes, black man and woman. You will never be able to say if Farrakhan didn't tell you the truth. I'm wiping your blood from my hands today. And if I never speak to you again, I've said what needs to be said. Now look here. This is Arabia. They got bases in the Emirates. This is Yemen. They just got a base there. This is Oman, Turkey. Of course, this is Europe. See? Now, this is Eastern Europe. This used to belong to the Soviet Union. Now, America is placing strategic missiles in Poland, I think in the Czech Republic, aimed here. Anything that jumps off in the Middle East, America has bases in Iraq to attack Iran. She has bases in Arabia, in Qatar, in Oman, in Yemen to attack. Now she's down here. Somalia, Eritrea, and Djibouti. She just put a base in Djibouti so that anything that happens in this area, which is becoming more Islamic, Muslims are ready to come back to their religion and live it. Now, America, under Barack Obama, is bombing in Pakistan. All up in this region. And you go up into the Caucasus Mountains. This is where lots of oil is here. That's why Afghanistan was so important to America. They wanted to bring a pipeline from north of Afghanistan through Afghanistan out to the Arabian Sea. Now, here is Afghanistan, here's Pakistan, but above Afghanistan, in Turkmenistan, in Kyrgyzstan, all of these places, there's oil and gas. America ain't thinking about tyranny, oppression, misuse of women. Those of you who were here last week, you saw the pictures. I don't want to show them again. Unless you think this is a pornography class, but here's Iran, here's Iraq. They got all these bases here. Now they want to attack Iran. Let me say to America, General Petraeus has said, we have the plans to bomb Iran. They also have set up plans in case they have to go to war with China or Russia. Now, it's all in your Bible. If you know how to read, wake up the mighty men of war. This is now Joel. Wake them up. What are you going to do? Prophet Joel, tell them to turn their plowshares and their pruning hooks into weapons of war, because the time of war has come. So the nations are not interested in cultivating the people or cultivating the earth. They're buying weapons. For what? War. The great war has begun. It says in the scriptures, when Jerusalem is surrounded by armies, the end has come now. Forsake your houses and run. There in Dimona, where the enemy has nuclear power that he produced in Dimona, that's where the African Hebrew Israelites are, and they're the best thing that ever happened to that place called Israel. But I'm going to say this. You know, that's the Holy Land. You can't bring your mess into the Holy Land and think that God will not expel you from that place. Can you imagine in Israel? They have gay parades in the Holy Land. Do you think about that? Do you think the God of heaven is pleased with that? That's why a new Jerusalem is to come down from heaven. Put up the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh fleets. It's wartime. That's why I decided to wear red today. Just letting you know, no easy time coming. You're going to have to prepare to save your lives. Now here's the second fleet guarding the eastern coast. The third fleet guarding the western coast. The fifth fleet there, I think this is the Indian Ocean. And this fleet is designed to protect here. The sixth fleet is positioned in Europe, but it can move into any area here that's in trouble. And the seventh fleet is in the Pacific for China and Japan. These are nuclear ships. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad say that Allah was going to destroy the sixth and the seventh fleet. I didn't ask him how. I just know what he said. War is here now. And if they attack Iran, I'm saying this to our government, you are being blinded by your passion and the fear in Israel that if Iran develops nuclear weapons, then what? Iran would be absolutely crazy if she had a weapon to attack Israel. Israel is the most well-armed nation in all that area of the world. Israel has more weapons of mass destruction that could defeat that whole area. So she's feeling, you know, her oats, I guess you could say. So they're saying, well, look, if you don't want to do it, step aside and let us do it. let you do it, and then what? You know if you do it, you're going to pull America in behind you. But let me tell you what you're facing. You can't win another war. You can't win in Iraq. You can't win in Afghanistan. You can't win in Pakistan. I don't care where you go. Your day of winning for evil is over. And do you know why America is there? She's after strategic interests. Have you heard that word before? Strategic interests? That's oil. That's gas. That's precious minerals.
Cashman didn't get much rest today. want to be involved in this, man. This is gonna be a blues number. But first I want to do a little bit of background on the blues and say what it is. Like, there are six cardinal colors, and colors have always come to signify more than simply that particular shade, like redneck or got the blues. That's where you apply colors to something else, you know, to come up with what it is you're trying to say. So there are six cardinal colors, yellow, red, orange, green, blue, and purple. And there are 3,000 shades. And if you take these 3,000 shades and divide them by six, you'll come up with 500. Meaning there are at least 500 shades of the blues. For example, there is the I ain't got me no money blues. There is the I ain't got me no woman blues. There is the I ain't got me no money and I ain't got me no woman, which is the double blues. And for years it was thought that black people were the only one who could get the blues, so the blues hadn't come into no international type of fame. But lately we done had Frank Rizzo with the lie detector blues. We done had the United States government talking about the energy crisis blues. And we're gonna dedicate this next poem here to Spearhead X, the X second in command in terms of this country.
Got the blues.
And the poem is called H2O G-A-T-E Blues. And if H2O is still water and G-A-T-E is still gate, what we're getting ready to deal on is the Watergate blues. Let me see if I can dial this number right quick. Click. Click. I'm sorry. The government you have elected is inoperative. Click. Inoperative. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and still could not. Let me do that part again. Just how blind will America be? The world is on the edge of its seat, defeat on the horizon. Very surprising that we all could see the plot and claimed that we could not. Just how blind, America? Just as Vietnam exploded in the rice, snap, crackle, and pop could not stop people determined to be free. Just how blind will America be? The shock of a Vietnam defeat sent Republican donkeys scurrying down on Wall Street. And when the roll was called, it was Pepsi Cola and Phillips 66, Boeing, Dow, and Lockheed. Ask them what they're fighting for, and they'll never mention the economics of war. Ecological warfare, above all else, destroy the land. If we can't break the Asian will, we'll bomb the dikes and starve the man. America, the international Jekyll and Hyde, the land of a thousand disguises, sneaks up on you but rarely surprises, plundering the Asian countryside in the name of Fu Manchu. Afraid of shoeless, undernourished Cambodians, while we strike big wheat bargains with Russia, our nuclear enemy. Just how blind, America? But tell me, who was around where Hale Boggs died? And what was the cause of LBJ's untimely demise? And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How long will the citizens sit and wait? It's looking like Europe in 38. Did they move to stop Hitler before it was too late? How long, America, before the consequences of keeping the school system segregated, allowing the press to be intimidated, watching the price of everything soar, and hearing complaints because the rich want more? It seems that Macbeth and not his lady went mad. We've let him eliminate the whole middle class. The dollar's the only thing we can't inflate, while the poor go on without a new minimum wage. But what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray, and there are those who say America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. How much more evidence do the citizens need that the election was sabotaged by trickery and greed? And if this is so, and who we got didn't win, let's do the whole goddamn election over again. The obvious key to the whole charade would be to run down all of the games they played. Remember Dieter Beard and ITT, the slaughter of Attica, the CIA in Chile, knowing nothing about Allende at this time in the past as I recollect. Augusta, Georgia, the nomination of Supreme Court Justice to head off the tapes. William Calley's executive interference in the image of John Wayne. Kent State, Jackson State, Southern Louisiana, hundreds of authorized bombing raids. The chaining and gagging of Bobby Seale. Somebody tell these Maryland governors to be for real. And we recall all of these events just to prove that Whataburgers in the Watergate wasn't no news. The thing that seems to justify all of our fears is that all this went down in the last 5 years. But tell me, what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray while America's faith is drowning beneath that cesspool, Watergate. We leave America to ponder the image of justice from its new wave of leaders. Frank Rizzo, the high school graduate mayor of Philadelphia whose ignorance is surpassed only by those who voted for him. Richard Daley, imperial Napoleonic mayor of Chicago, who took over from Al Capone and continues to implement the same tactics. George Wallace, Lester Maddow, Storm Thurmond, Ronald Reagan, an almost endless list that won't be missed when at last America is purged. And the silent White House with the James Brothers once in command. But see the sauerkraut mafia men deserting the sinking White House ship and their main mindless megalomaniac Ahab. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. McCord has blown, Mitchell has blown, no tap on my telephone. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, it follows a pattern if you dig what I mean. And what are we left with now? Bumper stickers that say Free the Watergate 500. Spy movies of the same name with a cast of thousands. And that ominous phrase that if Nixon knew, Ag knew. But Ag didn't knew enough to stay out of jail. And what really happened to J. Edgar Hoover? The king is proud of Patrick Gray. And there are those who swear they've seen King Richard. 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 Beneath that cesspool. Watergate.
Blog Talk Radio.
If you will bear with me for a few moments, I want to talk to us on the nature of human beings and the nature of the universe and show the microcosm and the macrocosm and the similarity in both. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that if you notice nothing in the universe is produced perfectly round. All of the planets are oblong. All of the stars are oblong. There is no perfectly round fruit, nor is there any round heads. Our heads are shaped like the earth, oblong. And because the first law of the universe is motion, then anything that is not perfectly round and is set in motion will have a wobble to its motion. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
The earth on which we travel is traveling right now at the speed of 1,037 and a third miles per hour. But it's the smoothest ride you can get except when the earth is disturbed through earthquake, then you understand this ride is not smooth anymore. But under normal conditions, there is no airplane that you can get on that will give you a smoother ride than the planet that you came up out of and are on your way back into. And it never stops. Its motion is constant. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it makes four dips in and out, giving us our seasons. And the only reason you don't feel the wobble or the imbalance of the planet is because the planet is in such perfect obedience to the law under which it was created that this is what gives you your smooth ride, because it's obeying the law of light. Listen now, listen. You and I come up out of the earth. And in human nature, there is a wobble, an imbalance, an imperfection, if you will. This is why the Bible and Quran agree that the heavens and the earth were created under the number 6. The Quran teaches that the universe was created in 6 periods of time. The Bible says he created it in 6 days. In the book of Revelation, it says, count the number of the beast. For the number of the beast is the number of a man, 666. The number 6 represents incompletion, imperfection, and dissatisfaction. A baby at 6 months is not complete. It's completed at 7. It is incomplete at 6. So anything constructed under the number 6 is imperfect, incomplete. But God is constantly moving things toward completion, toward perfection. And this is why the New Testament says, behold, I make all things new. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the former things will pass away. God would not have to make a new heaven and a new earth if he was satisfied with this one. Since it is incomplete, there's always dissatisfaction. And it is the dissatisfaction in human nature that keeps us moving onward toward eventual perfection. It is dissatisfaction that brings about change. And since nothing, they say, is more predictable, then there's going to be change. Fine. Then if we are created under the number 6, we are incomplete, imperfect, and therefore our actions will bring about problems to the degree that we obey or disrespect divine law. I hope you're following me. You notice, Christians, how you constantly talk about love and that Farrakhan is a preacher of hate. You need to be quiet. Go ahead. Let me tell you what produces hate. It's not the preaching of Farrakhan. Farrakhan just got here a few days ago. You have to agree that hate was in the world before I got here. And somebody must have been preaching before I took up the book. And they must have been a better preacher than I. Because the world is filled with hate. And I have nothing to do with it. Here's what produces hate. Since the heavens and the earth are created imperfect, but evolving toward perfection, the planets created at right angles to each other. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, the brain cell of the original people is created to think right. To think right means to think in accord with law and truth. Then if you can think right and act right, you reduce the problem of the wobble in human nature. I'm going to say that again. If you think right and act right, you reduce the problem created by the wobble in human nature. Now, if you don't wish to obey law and follow the dictates of truth, then the wobble in human nature becomes manifest, and your motion then creates disturbance, chaos, confusion, bloodshed, hatred. It is unrighteousness that produces hate. If your nature is to do what is right, and I treat you wrongly, you can't love me even if I'm your father, even if I'm your mother, even if I'm your brother. If I treat you wrong, it is the wrong that I do that will generate hatred in you. Now,
this is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit, Motown. And just because Berry Gordy took Motown to L.A. does not mean Detroit has lost its soul. That brings us to the end of our programming tonight. As I wrote in the statement, we've been away for a while. Now we are back. We have new programming and an excited energy for this new year, 2022. No, COVID has not gone away. It is a pestilence from God. Every time they think they got it lit, God sends them a new trick, a new variant, a new strain. But as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan warned us, do not put that poison vaccine, regardless of the strain, into your veins. So I leave you as I came before you in the greetings of peace and blessings. As-salamu alaykum. May Allah continue to bless you as we go through this week. Bad storm here in Detroit. We're looking for anywhere between 8 to 12 inches of snow. Our families on the East Coast got battered already with 8 inches, and they have more snow on the way. With that in mind, and all the other weather troubles that are going throughout the country, I want you all to keep in prayer. Ask God for his beneficence, his mercy, and most of all, his protection. As we are guided through the troubled waters to the other side. With that said, I pray, Allah, that I see you and hear from you all as I bring you new programming next week. Assalamu alaikum.